Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Joseph Anania, I think it is, who's a silver level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. That means that Joseph gives at least $5 a month to the amplifier program and the amps program. And that means that he is helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you would like to be like Joseph and support the show, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And Riley, you had an announcement you wanted to make about April.
I do have an announcement. So coming up on April 20th this year at the State House in New Hampshire, I am holding a 420 rally, and we are supporting cannabis freedom. And also, there's a 420 foundation that's also doing the same thing, so I should contact them and send a message and say, hey, you know, I was planning on doing a 420 rally too. Let's combine forces and get things going. So if you're in New Hampshire and you support cannabis freedom, whether you are partaking or not, come out to the State House at 420 on 420 this year.
Excellent. Cool. I'll be there. Fun. I'll definitely be there.
Excellent. I'll be there, too.
I feel like the weather will be great by then because it's already getting nice in New Hampshire.
And I should bring my backpack,
too. Oh, it will be. Well, it's going to be beautiful. I will not be there, but I'll be there in spirit.
Okay.
But thank you.
I might be preoccupied.
Anybody in New Hampshire who could be listening, definitely come out to that.
Even if you don't live in New Hampshire and you want to come support us, great. Come across the country. Let's get more people there.
That would be crazy. I mean, like, awesome.
Okay. I mean, imagine if there was, like, 500 people there.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
For Ian's sentencing, there were people that came from Nevada, Arizona.
Utah.
Florida.
Oh, wait, were you in Utah at the time?
No, I moved to New Hampshire.
No, somebody was, though.
Oh.
I mean, I
forget who, but somebody was from Utah, right?
I guess I could claim I was from Utah. I mean, I haven't changed my identification yet to New Hampshire, but, you know.
Yeah, just the other day I was like, I've been here 3 years now. Am I from New Hampshire now? Signed a military brat who's like, not from anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really.
We'll accept you. We'll allow it.
People were
this
like
time, Bonnie
saying
will allow.
One of us, but they're also free staters who've been here like less.
Yeah, yeah, you're like,
me.
I don't know if this really counts.
But I just thought it was a funny thing to say. So in other news, apnews.com has this article saying that Donna Summer Estate, so she's dead, but her estate, sues Ye, which is what Kanye West is going by now, and Ty Dolla $ign, who's a rapper, saying they illegally used I Feel Love.
Oh.
So, first of all, love that song.
Yeah.
Love Donna Summer.
Mm-hmm.
A similar thing happened with I Refuse, I Will Dead Name Kanye West.
I gotta say Kanye West.
It's like Twitter. Yeah. No one knows. Yeah, so Kanye West, don't care, sorry.
And he's still Kanye West on Apple Music, not Ye. I looked this up.
Yeah, because no one would, he still wants people to find his music.
Right.
Anyways, there was, he reached out to Ozzy Osbourne of Black Sabbath and was like, hey, can I sample War Pigs or something, like some Black Sabbath song?
Hmm.
And Ozzy, or whoever represents him and speaks for him, was like, no, we hate you. And then he went and did it anyways. he took like a live recording, like a live sample, and used that. And Ozzy Osbourne made a Facebook post and was like, this man is disgusting. He's an anti-Semite. Like, I do not, like, I think he's a horrible person. I specifically told him he could not use my music. And I don't really believe in copyright law or intellectual property. But my point is, this isn't the first time. So he did it to Black Sabbath.
I say let Kanye sample. Free Ye. Yeah. Let Kanye sample.
I mean, his music sucks now, so there's that.
One thing that really sucks is
probably just because he sampled Donna Summer. Well, that's probably the only reason why it's good.
It's better than her song.
Can we sample it on
the air? Really?
He took it and made it, you know, like, I wish we could, but I didn't prepare
that.
What is it?
Okay. I Feel Love?
Yeah, so it's the one thing.
I was listening to that song the other day.
That's funny. I love Donna Summer.
I love Donna Summer.
I'm a big disco girl. I don't know. I just like this, the way that this sounds. Like, obviously he raps over it and it's not her whole song.
Yeah, of course he sampled it.
Awesome, and because he has this like deep, like beat over it, and it's just amazing. And what sucks is it's the best song off his new album. His new album isn't great. Like, I love Kanye West, like old music. And
yeah, I like his older stuff better.
His newer stuff is not as good in my opinion, and a lot of it sounds, it's just kind of getting way more like dark and gangsta-y than I like. Like, I liked his more poppy, fun music.
Yeah, more like, just like old school, hip-hop, whatever.
So, like, this was the best song on the album, and now it's like, it's not on Apple Music, it's not on Spotify, because of this lady's estate.
So, I'm a big fan of sampling.
Right.
I really like the Beastie Boys. They've sampled some of my favorite bands. They've sampled Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin is Captain the Sun.
I know, right? Yeah, well, Captain's not here.
That's right.
I can talk about Led Zeppelin if I want to.
Heck yeah.
But Led Zeppelin has even gotten into legal battles with people because a couple of them are at least still alive. Because of a chord progression. And it's like, you can't, like, copyright a chord progression. Like, anyone can pick up a guitar and, like, play music. Like, they're not. So, Led Zeppelin has been through that whole thing with the band Spirit or whatever. But I think sampling in hip-hop music, like, I'm a big, you know, like, a lot of the best hip-hop music, in my opinion, like Kanye West's older stuff, Wu-Tang Clan, Beastie Boys, that music literally could not have been created without sampling.
Right.
And I think that was a really important development in music, was for these artists to be able to pull from other artists. It's they're not stealing your whole song.
That's the beautiful
they're sampling.
Thing about music is it can be shared across times and spaces. Like,
absolutely.
There have been songs anciently, like folk songs. Folk songs may have different lyrics, but some of them share the same tunes, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, nowadays, people get so offended if you sample their tune or create a song using that tune.
It's like a compliment, almost,
right? It's definitely a compliment.
And what's weird is, like, when people get the permission, like, they like that person that's asking to sample, they can even do a whole cover. Like, Lana Del Rey covered Sublime's song, Due in Time.
Yeah.
And that is, like, it's a good song. Like, I like that song, but I've never loved it. Like, Lana Del Rey's version is amazing.
Yeah.
She sings the exact same song. It's not even a sample. She does a cover, but I would never listen to the old one.
Yeah, of course.
It's not like I hate it or something. If it came on the radio and I had nothing else to listen to, I might stop, but it's not really, like, my style. And then Lana's cover of it, she didn't change anything, she just sang it with her voice, is one of my favorite songs.
I mean, that's something people have been doing for a very long time. I mean, most of the Beatles, a lot of the music in the 40s and the 50s was covers. There wasn't a lot of original music. It was a lot of, like, okay, here are some songs. And a lot of bands, famous bands, like I said, the Beatles, are just covering these songs that are already on the radio. And it was very, very commonplace to just cover songs. And I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. It's like, it's not stealing from anyone. It's just like, I like your... Yeah, it's like, I'm not claiming that this is my original song. I'm just covering your song. And
people are just greedy.
Yeah, it's just it's weird. Copyright laws are a really strange thing.
They are. It's,
like,
it's
intellectual
really strange,
property.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, I don't get it. But there has been certain, like, I'm trying to think of the song. It's a Wu-Tang Clan song, and I just loved the sample. Like, I would not like this song at all if it wasn't for the sample. And for years, I was, like, searching out that song, like, researching, like, trying to find the original song that they sampled. And when I finally found it, I was so excited. And now I listen to, because like I said, my favorite part was the sampled part.
Mm-hmm.
So now I listen to that band. I discovered a whole new band. I listen to their music, and I listen to that song all the time.
It's like free promotion.
So that's the thing. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Like, the best part in this Kanye song, in my opinion, is also the Donna Summer part. Like, yeah. He changed it a little, so it's just like, oh my God, it just hits even harder. It's like her voice with like a deeper bass. I've only listened to it once now, and I had to find it on YouTube, and I feel like it might eventually get taken off there if he like loses this lawsuit. And it's just sad because people could listen to this and be like, whoa, what is that beautiful like background singer? Who's singing the back? And then find out it's actually a whole other song and like discover Donna Summers, you know,
yeah,
like
absolutely.
If they live under
rock.
That's
the beautiful thing about sampling, and because people could discover more. But the problem is you have all these crazy copyright laws and litigious attorneys who just want to sue everybody, and everyone wants to sue everybody for whatever reason. It's just ridiculous, dude. Just enjoy the music, share it around, have a few drinks, have a good time.
And it's crazy because she's dead.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this
claiming
is her estate. It's like, you know what I mean? So it does feel like really greedy. Or maybe they wouldn't, you know, sue somebody else, but they're just mad because Kanye West has been problematic in the press in recent years. I don't know, but it seems like they will go after just about anybody.
So one thing about it that I was wondering is like sampling legal at any time, and the people in the chat room are saying that it is legal. So I'm wondering how they're claiming that Kanye did it illegally, because it says the Donna Summer of State sues Ye and Ty Dolla $ign saying they illegally used
I think
I Feel
you
Love.
Need permission.
So they're
and
saying,
I think also if you make money off of it, I think that might be a factor as well.
Hmm.
Because I think with the Black Sabbath thing, Kanye West, like, he asked Ozzy Osbourne or Black Sabbath or whatever, and they were like, no, we hate you. But he sampled it, but I don't know if he put the song on his album or just did it for, like, a private viewing party. So I think if you sample something and you, or if you use something, like, I can play Black Sabbath at a party that I'm throwing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, you can't profit off of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing. So, and if you do, you need, like, explicit permission.
I think that's just wrong at this, because what you're saying is exactly what I thought, that they need explicit permission and that it's the making money. But the chat is saying sampling is just a courtesy. I mean, sorry, permission is just a courtesy, but I think they're wrong, because I'm, like, reading ahead.
And like, this isn't the first court case where someone sampled something without permission and is getting sued.
Yeah.
Like, normally they want money. Normally they're like, sure, you can sample it, but you gotta, you know, pay us X amount of dollars or whatever, or they just write permission.
So it says the estate of Donna Summer sued Ye, which is Kanye West, if you don't know who we're talking about, and Ty Dolla $ign on Tuesday for what its attorneys say is the shamelessly illegal use of her 1977 song, I Feel Love, in their collaboration, Good Don't Die. That's the name of the song. It's Good. And in parentheses, Don't Die. The copyright infringement lawsuit was filed in federal court in Los Angeles by Summer's husband, Bruce Sudano, in his capacity as executor of the estate of the singer-songwriter and disco queen who died in 2012. The suit alleges that when representatives of Ye, formerly Kanye West, sought permission for use of the song, they were rejected because the Summer estate wanted no association with West's controversial history. Which is also just like a weak, dumb reason. It's like, no one hearing this song is going to think, oh, Donna Summers must sanction everything Kanye West has ever
done. Yeah, no kidding, right?
And it's like, why care? It's obviously just punishment.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like another band. Kanye West has, I feel
Daft
like he's,
Punk for
Daft Punk. So no one's like, oh, Daft Punk must be like totally behind everything Kanye West says.
Right.
No, no one thinks that. That's a dumb thing to think. And no one would be like, oh, Donna Summers You know what I mean?
Loves Kanye West and everything he's done. And like, she's dead, obviously. Nobody would think that's stupid. Or even if she was
left. It just doesn't make sense. It's like a very weak argument, but
it's
they don't
like they're
really...
trying to punish him or something.
Yeah, and it's like they don't really need an argument because it's against the law, I guess. I mean, it's dumb, but...
They don't need an argument as far as, like, why they don't want to do a thing. Sure, but I'm just saying that it's, like, stupid.
It's still weak, yeah. It's still,
and I can see through it.
Absolutely, yeah, they're just, it's...
They're like, you said some things that are outside of the index card of allowable opinion, as Tom Woods would say.
Yeah.
And now we don't want to let you make an amazing song.
It's yeah, a really that's good exactly song. What it is, yeah.
The suit contends that the album instead shamelessly includes re-recorded parts of the song that were instantly recognizable. Oh, that's what it is. So they didn't actually sample Donna Summer. They re-recorded it. It sounds exactly the same. Wow. Well, like I said, it's like a different beat.
How?
I thought they just used her voice. So they must have had
somebody
else.
So they didn't sample it.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
That's not a sample then. Because a sample, in my opinion, back in the day, when you were sampling stuff, you put a record on the turntable and you record, you know what I mean? Like, that's what sampling
used to be.
You had to
double track everything with a record behind you and things like that.
Yeah, so it's like...
They're claiming...
Obviously, you don't have to do that anymore. Like, technology has developed, but, like, you are taking the actual music from the vinyl.
So, they're claiming illegal use of her song, but I guess we are the only ones who have said the word sampling so far. That's what I thought, because I listened to it, it sounds exactly like her voice. If that's someone else, that's pretty amazing. It's really
so close. Just because of the lyrics and the beat, like, it was...
Yeah.
I thought, if you, like, re-record, like, that was a way to get around it.
Wow.
Or if you changed it enough, maybe, because, you know, like, when they sample it, normally they, like, a big thing, especially, like, in, like, 90s, early 2000s hip-hop, like Wu-Tang Clan, what they would do is they would speed it up to make it sound a little different. So it'd be, like, more high-pitched and faster, and that's how they would sample stuff.
Dumb that you have to do that. I mean, like, I
didn't know if
that
they
music.
Had to do that. I don't know. When did copyright law become a thing? Like, when did this become a thing?
I don't know.
When lawyers began to be more litigious and more domineering and controlling of... Like, everyone just wants to feel...
Greed.
It's really down to this whole idea of greed and control of who gets to gatekeep what music goes where and whatnot. It's just like, you know, just share the tunes, have some fun.
So,
life's too short.
Apparently, sampling without permission became illegal in 1991.
1991?
According to Exploring the World of Electronic Instruments.
So... The suit, it doesn't say anything about sampling. It says the suit contends that the album, instead of sampling it because they didn't get permission, shamelessly includes re-recorded parts of the song that were instantly recognizable. In the face of this rejection, the suit says, defendants arrogantly and unilaterally decided they would simply steal I Feel Love and use it without permission, which is a lie. You can't steal something that... isn't taken away from the person who's claiming it's stolen.
Right, you can't steal a song because no one's missing anything. I mean,
right.
How can you steal a tune?
I sing the song all the time.
Right,
am
if
I stealing
you
it?
Sing the song, are you stealing it? Exactly.
Yeah.
All it is they are being control freaks, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. They want to keep the music industry and things like that.
Keeping a beautiful song... I keep calling a Kanye West song beautiful. It's just that it's really good. I was like, wow, this is awesome and the best song on this album now. I mean, there's the Northwest.
You're really hyping this up.
You got to hear it. I like it. Because if you like that song, you'll definitely like it. Like, I was going around singing that part of the song all day because I listened to it. But we do have David from New Mexico on calling. So, David, what's on your mind?
Yo, Bonnie, it's your boy.
Ew.
I heard that David loves Donna Summer.
Man, the first time I ever heard that song, I was like, I don't know, 14 years old, and I was at church camp, and the pastor counselor dude was driving me and a couple of my buddies from some camp to town to get some supplies from, and he put the Donna Summer in. Oh, man, good tune.
I bet.
Yeah. But you want to, it's not what I called, about, but I had some more, actually, I would comment on your copyright stuff, but you won't like what I have to say, so instead of doing that, I'll tell you some more animal stories. I never finished that lizard story I was trying to tell you.
Really?
But before I do, when you go on break, this next break, you have to listen to, if you haven't heard before, Better Than Donna Summer, and I haven't heard Kanye West, but the Blue Man Group, a cover of I Feel Love by featuring Venus Hum.
Okay.
You got to hear it. It's better than Donna Summer's original.
All right, we'll check it out.
And, all right.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's on
they
YouTube,
do like
on
all
video.
A cappella, right? So it's like no instruments, just their voices. Or am I wrong about that?
No, well, Blue Man, they're a music. They're a musical group, you know. They play the PVC pipes and stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah, okay. It's like a whole production. They do crazy stuff.
They do like Vegas or whatever, like where they'll do performances in real life. But I thought they were all 100% acoustic or something.
That's kind of what I thought too. Yeah, I thought it was like more not a cappella, but instrumental.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's probably amplified. I mean, the singer's got to be amplified. You're not singing to a Vegas auditorium without amplification in most cases.
Yeah.
But the instruments that those guys build, you know, like the PVC pipes, a lot of them, well, for Vegas, you've got to have ample. I don't see how you would, those PVC tubes that are like 8 inches in diameter, they put out some pretty good sound, but still, if you're going to play to a couple thousand people or 10,000 people, you gotta have some amplification. But anyway, that's not the point. The song is just awesome. Especially if you were like in surround sound, it'd be going all around you. I'm sure they did it. And I'm not a sound technician, but I'm sure they did it in not just a stereo left and right, but I'm sure they got four speakers, four channels. And so the music can just like circle around you if you had speakers all around you. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Anyway, so you listen to it on a break so you know what I'm talking about. Then you can rave about it when you come back. But that to finish up that lizard story, I told you about that lizard, that 16-inch lizard that would this is I'm not get your minds out of the gutter. I'm not talking about anything obscene.
Okay,
nobody
lizard,
thought you were.
Just you.
Well, we didn't.
I did. In the depths of my kinky little mind. So this lizard would come up. I'd go out in the morning and have coffee, and I'd sit down in the sun, and this lizard would come up and eat flies off of my ankles. I thought it was attacking me at first, like Bonnie thought.
That's so funny.
But I figured out that I smell so bad that I attract flies, and then I'd have my coffee and she'd
eat the flies.
And eat flies off my ankles.
Symbiosis.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's
pardon?
What I said. I googled it. What'd I was like,
say?
What is symbiosis? It's
there you go.
Relationship between two organisms that is, you know, it's helpful to both sides. It's like,
yeah,
oh wait, so wait,
yeah,
symbiosis
it's like
is
that,
any
it's
relationship,
like that,
but
it's
a mutual
song. It's like that song, the keys are white, and the, what's the other part of that?
I don't know
what you're talking about.
The keys are, what is it, a Three Dog Night song?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
You got to look that one up too, but anyway, one of the lyrics is, we live together in perfect harmony. Oh no, I think it's Stevie Wonder? I don't know. It's either Stevie Wonder or Blue Dog Night.
There's also, you know, parasitism. It's a relationship that is helpful to one and not helpful to the other. But the mutual kind is what David was experiencing. He didn't have the flies on his ankles anymore, and the lizard was eating them. So
the more you know.
It's really funny. So, David, you can finish your story when we come back. 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
USA News Update. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell announced Wednesday on the Senate floor he's stepping down from his GOP leadership position in November.
Now it's 2024. I'm now 82.
McConnell said he will remain in his role until the November elections and will serve out the remainder of his term, which concludes in January 2027. Hunter Biden told House Republicans that his father was never engaged in any of his business endeavors. He testified behind closed doors Wednesday in the Republican-led impeachment inquiry into the president. In his opening statement, Hunter accused Republicans of propagating innuendo and disregarding evidence in their investigation. Chrysler is recalling more than 338,000 Jeep Grand Cherokees. It's due to a steering wheel problem that could result in the wheel coming loose and potentially cause drivers to lose control of the vehicle and crash. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio today, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we're going to talk about the fact that half of college graduates are working jobs that don't even use their degrees. But first, we have a caller on the line, David from New Mexico. You said that there was a detail you wanted to finish off with your story about a lizard that would come up to you and eat flies off your ankles. What was that that you wanted to tell us about?
The last sad detail, and no, the lizard didn't die.
Oh, how sad.
But it does make me sad because it was one day the lizard just stopped coming around, and I'm like, oh no, I wonder if they took off or if the roadrunner killed it and ate it or whatever. There actually was two of them, and I assumed that they were mates. I don't know, but I just assumed. And the one that I think is female was the one that was coming up to me, and the male, that I think it was a male anyway, would stay off in the distance, wasn't as friendly. And which is part of the story, is that lizards, if you're around them, they have quite the personality, lizard to lizard to lizard, and they're really intelligent actually. Like you wouldn't think so, or maybe you've noticed. If you're in an area where there are lizards, like in Florida or in the Southwest, and they're around a lot, you'll notice that they make eye contact with you quite frequently. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I haven't noticed that, but I honestly am scared of them.
I had a lizard growing up. We had a little pet lizard.
What kind?
I don't know what kind he was. He was just a little guy.
Oh.
But yeah, he was really nice and cute.
I do think they're cute and everything, but, like, the wild ones, like, they really freak me out. Like, when I lived in Texas,
they're quick, and it can be intimidating.
It's somewhat like a snake. Like, it just kind of, I see it, and my brain's like, nope, kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, too. I'll tell you another time. I can tell you a little bit about it right now. There's another variety of lizard here that's about, actually, bigger than this one. It's like, they're, like, 2 feet long, you know, including the tail. And it's called something, some sort of a dragon, but that's not its official name. It's kind of a nickname. But the interesting thing about that lizard, it's the official name is not the Latin name, but the official non-Latin, the English name is a short-nosed, oh shoot, now I lost it again.
Do you guys have Gila something. Monsters there?
What is that?
We got the Gila Gila Wilderness and the Gila Mountains. So of course we have a Gila monster.
Oh, I didn't know that there was anything called Gila in New Mexico. So in Arizona, I know there's like a Gila Mountain region.
Yeah, Arizona they're stealing that from us. The Gila Wilderness, Gila Mountains are in New Mexico, and they probably stole all our lizards too. If they got any Gila monsters over there, it's because they came.
Oh, Gila monster type of lizard.
Yeah, it's a type of lizard. So Gila mountains and Gila monsters, like they live together, or they those two things go together, and they really creep me out because it's kind of like the Americans' way smaller, way less big of a deal version of the Komodo dragon.
Yeah,
obviously not the same
thing.
Gila monsters, they come out at night and they go into they go into people's campsites and they bite through the tents and then they eat the people.
Until you said eat the people, I was really freaking out.
Yeah, Bonnie was totally bought into that. I was too, actually. I was like, oh my gosh, they eat? Because, I mean, we have bears here.
Yeah, I mean, some animals eat people.
You know, some animals will break into your tent, too.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's
you got
so
food
crazy.
In there? Yeah, they'll break in there.
Speaking of tents, I'm in a tent right now with all my food. I dare any bear to come and try to take it.
Are you camping or are you like out at your property camping?
I'm getting ready for going camping. And so what I do before I go camping, because I go camping for like weeks and months at a time. So what I do is I set up all my camping gear out in the yard and then, and hang out in it for a week or two. So that way when I leave for weeks or months at a time, I know I haven't forgotten anything because anything I possibly need, I've already been having to use for a couple weeks.
That's a way to do it.
Yeah, good practice run.
Yeah, that way you don't forget them. Because I hate that feeling. If you drive 100 miles out in the middle of nowhere and camping, and you're like, oh, man, I left something that I really, really needed, you know, like fire or something like that.
You know, Hank Hill says, it's best to be prepared, because then when something happens, you're ready for it.
Yeah, that's I buy into Hank Hill, his advice, because and that's why I always carry lots and lots of propane and propane accessories whenever I go camping.
Oh, that's probably useful to you.
Yeah, that's
a Hank Hill quote, because it's just silly, because it's like, okay, well, that's what anyone would say about preparation. It's not really a quote, Hank. Anyways, go ahead, David.
Yeah. Oh, so back to that lizard. Oh, and by the way, I think Hank, the dude who does Hank Hill, I think he does Butthead too, doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah, he does. It's Mark Judge, I think.
Oh, so he just does, like, a bunch of stuff then?
Yeah, he does, like, Boomhauer on the show.
Yeah.
He does a ton of stuff.
Yeah, usually the creators will, because that's the same guy from The Simpsons, too, right? He created The Simpsons?
No, that's Matt Groening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I think about that.
But normally, because, like, I'm thinking of, like, South Park, those guys.
They do a bunch of characters.
Yeah, they do a bunch of characters, too, and it's, like, funny to watch them behind the scenes, like, doing
their
thing.
Me and my sister were talking about that the other day, like, the ones where they can't get it out because they're laughing too much. It's so funny.
Cartoons are good.
Funny you should bring that up. I am Matt Groening in a movie. I played Matt Groening in a movie called Friendship. It was made for the German audience, but you can find it on YouTube right now. It's called Friendship. It was a German movie.
Do you look like him?
No, it was a shot from a distance where I was Matt Groening. I was driving his car, which was an AMC Pacer.
Okay.
Yeah, if you ever seen one, if you ever saw one of those, yeah, I was driving. So if you watch the movie and you see a scene where an AMC Pacer is being driven through the mountains of what is supposed to be Tennessee, that's actually your boy Daver in New Mexico driving through the mountains of New Mexico in. But anyway, so yeah.
That's crazy. That's funny.
That so, is crazy. That
I want to
really
know.
Crazy.
I want to know the ending of this story. So there was a girl and a boy lizard.
Yeah, yeah. So the lizards disappeared one day, and I couldn't remember, or I wondered what happened to them if they just wandered off, because they'll like wander in, and then they'll wander off, and then a couple weeks later they'll be back again, but they never came back. And I had been working on. I had a flat tire, and I was trying to change the tire at home, take one tire off and put a different one on by hand. Yes, it can be done. It's a little bit challenging, but you can do it by hand without taking it to a tire shop. But I got one of the beads off one side of the rim, and I never finished taking the second bead off to get the whole tire off. And I just left it sitting, kind of leaning against the wall, with the one bead separated. And I took that tire into the, I never completed the task by hand. I took the tire into the tire shop a week or two later when I was going there anyway to let them do it. And when I unloaded the tire and gave it to the guy and he put it on the machine to start spinning it, all of a sudden a lizard jumped out of it and ran out of the tire shop and out into the grass, you know, out into nature again. And it was that lizard, and she had gotten herself, inside of that tire and couldn't get out.
Oh wow.
Oh no.
That's sad.
Yeah. So at least she was alive, but I lost my favorite, pet lizard that I'd made an emotional connection with.
Oh wow. Well, I'm glad that she didn't die. Like, and I'm glad that, oh, I didn't mean to like just hang up on David Metta. Anyways.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call, David. So I'm glad that the lizard isn't dead. That's a sad little story. It's just so cute that, you know, God or whatever, creation, whatever,
yep,
gave us animals to be friends with, because they just, you know, it's like, yeah, a human being, in that it's conscious. It's not just like, you know, a rock, but it's different.
Hey, don't
enough
talk about my pet rock that way.
Innocent. You know, innocent and good and just like...
Like coconut?
Yeah, like coconut.
They're kind of like babies.
Yeah.
Like forever, though.
Forever, yeah. That's what I was saying, yeah, about coconut, that... Like, I'm glad I got him fixed so early, because he's just, like, a forever baby.
Yeah.
I think he would be either way, right?
Well, I don't know. There were people that were like, let him be not fixed for 1 year, because then he'll actually, like, be more of an adult dog instead of a baby. But that was stupid, and I got him
I
fixed.
I think dogs are always babies.
Well,
right?
I've heard that they...
Maybe not. I don't know.
Their consciousness is that of, like, a seven-year-old. I don't really know that fixing him changed it much.
Yeah,
but,
who knows?
There's a difference between dogs that are fixed and aren't fixed, because they're,
yeah,
just, like,
for sure,
more aggressive. Like, I think... And the thing is, like, he doesn't hump things.
Well, they have that hormonal drive.
He doesn't...
You know what I mean?
Go around, you know, like, rubbing his parts all over stuffed animals, yeah, or anything, yeah, like that.
I don't know. My sister's cat is fixed, mm-hmm, and he has a girlfriend, which is a stuffed animal.
Oh, no.
But he will do things.
Do you
things.
Know when he got fixed? Like, how old?
I don't know.
Because I do
it
wonder if that changes.
It was before she got him. He was less than a year old, I think.
Oh, okay.
No,
I was wondering if that's why.
Still a kitten,
like,
maybe, but... But yeah, I've seen, like, sometimes, yeah, animals will be fixed, but they will, like... Like cats, like, they'll still spray randomly. Yeah, it doesn't, like, really make sense.
Yeah.
But they'll still do some of those activities that it's better off if they don't.
I agree, though, that animals are just kind of, like, forever, like, an innocent, lovable thing.
Lovable being of some kind.
And
my cat
wonderful.
Is 20, and she's, like, still totally a baby.
Oh.
She might even be more of a baby now.
Like more helpless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just more needy, I guess.
We do have another caller on the line. It looks like unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah. It's Tom. And it's about the war over in Palestine, the Gaza Strip and all of that stuff going on.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Thomas Jefferson, in his inaugural address on March 4th, 1801, supported... equal and exact justice to all men of whatever state or persuasion, religious or political, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. And that is very much like the libertarian position on this, what's going on there. The United States should not be involving itself in defending a foreign country's scriptural claim to territory. And the, you know, if you want to go over there and defend it, then you sign up with the Israeli army. And if you want to give them money, then all you got to do is buy postage stamps from their post office. Well, you can buy $1 million worth of them, and they, the Israeli government gets $1 million. Okay, so what they got to do, the first simple step is to assure the airlines that if any Palestinian shows up at a check-in counter, it's okay to let them board a flight to the United States. The airline won't get them get in trouble, even if the refugee application is denied.
Are they getting in trouble now? Is that what's happening?
Well, airlines won't let them get on the plane. It's like when you want to fly to the United States, you have to have a passport,
right,
and a visa from the U.S. Embassy and all of that, or they won't let you on the plane because they'll get fined. It's just tell them that, and then once that word gets out, then more than likely the Egyptians will let them, will suffer them to pass from Rafah Gate to El Arish Airport in the Sinai and let them go on a flight to the United States. And once they get to the United States, this is a slight departure from Orthodox libertarian extremist, as when they get to the United States, run a fingerprint check for outstanding arrest warrants, and if they're not wanted by FBI or Interpol, then give them a work permit and a social security card.
This seems like somewhat of a, you know, a nice theory, but I'm not sure the government's going to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I agree that Americans shouldn't be forced to give Israel or Palestine money. If they want to give them money, they should do it themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, not vote for all their neighbors to...
But, of course, this is not how things work. Unfortunately,
right,
we have to be forced to give money to Israel or Palestine through whatever. And we're told that Israel's the good guy because they're God's chosen people or whatever. No, they're just as evil as the,
yeah,
Palestinians.
Yeah, they're just also,
well, you know,
murdering the children.
The government's just as evil, yeah, as the Palestinians.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's not the,
yeah,
people,
the real
themselves.
People are probably fine.
They're probably just like everyone else, like good and... you know, bad, but the government is what's the problem. The government,
yeah,
is the one that's being coercive, you know,
oh, sure,
and enslaving and
literally
people
funding, sending weapons to so they can murder children and blow up hospitals.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
really bad stuff.
Yeah, USA, USA.
And Hamas is basically a government in, there's no real difference between the government, you know,
well, yeah, they're both terrorist organizations.
Government and Hamas, right. They're just terrorist organizations that are claiming authority to us. And they claim
and
that
murdering
they
people.
Speak, they're saying, like, oh, our people want us in charge. And the Israeli
so,
government,
yeah,
saying,
I doubt that.
Our people want us in charge, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know? What's the big difference? So, yeah, I agree that we shouldn't have to be forced to give them money, but that's how things are. And I just feel like, I don't know, he was just kind of going off about some theory that, oh, it could work like this. Well, it doesn't work like that. And
yeah.
So the Wall Street Journal, wallstreetjournal.com or WSJ.com says half of college grads are working jobs that don't use their degrees. Choice of major, internships, and getting the right first job after graduation are critical to career paths. New data show. So roughly half of college graduates end up in jobs where their degrees aren't needed. And that underemployment has lasting implications for workers. So when I first read this, I thought underemployment, that must mean like people aren't getting enough jobs. That's also happening, but that's also a different thing. So they use the word underemployment to mean you're employed, but...
You're not working at the career or the... You're not using your degree.
Right. It's not something that you needed your degree for. So that underemployment has lasting implication for workers' earnings and career paths. That is the key finding of a new study tracking the career paths of more than 10 million people who entered the job market over the past decade. It suggests that the number of graduates in jobs that don't make use of their skills or credentials, 52%, is greater than previously thought. And underscores the lasting importance of that first job after graduation. So I guess they're trying to say basically like whatever job you get first after graduation will have more to do with what you keep doing,
yeah,
than what you went to school for.
That's what it sounds like to me.
One of the graduates in non-college level jobs, of the graduates in non-college level jobs a year after leaving college, the vast majority remained underemployed a decade later. According to researchers at labor analytics firm Burning Glass Institute and nonprofit Strata Education Foundation, which analyzed the resumes of workers who graduated between 2012 and 2021. More than any other factor analyzed, including race, gender, and choice of university, what a person studies determines their odds of getting on a college career track. Internships are also critical. So maybe it's saying just people who study many specific things are not ending up with their jobs that they expect or that they're going to school to learn about. So, like, a doctor. How many people are going to school for medical school and becoming a doctor and then not ending up being a doctor? Probably not that many.
So, I took college classes, there were a lot of people that were interested in nursing. So I don't know how many ended up being actual nurses, but
a lot of people ended up being nurses. Those specialties, those are, like, also more specialized, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you go to med school, like, you're going to be some sort of medical doctor. If you go to nursing school, like, you graduate with the intention of taking the NCLEX and getting licensed in your state as a nurse, right?
Right.
Obviously, there's a lot of different things you can do as a nurse, but if you're studying, like, business, you can literally do anything with a business degree.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, some of those other less specialized
degrees.
Yeah, like stuff like that. It's like, I don't know, you could really, I guess, do anything with that. And, like, some jobs, they don't even care what your degree's in. They're just like, bachelor's degree, great. That's all they care about. It doesn't matter what it's in, which is kind of strange. It's like, what's the point? If you don't care what my degree's in, then what, you know what I mean?
I think that's what, we're all kind of on the same page. I think that most people who go to school for, like, becoming a medical doctor, they're not just going to
We're doing a specialized
decide,
career.
They're not just going to decide, oh, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to become, I'm just going to own a business. But,
yeah.
for example, if you go to school for criminal justice, you can just graduate and be like, yeah, I'm just going to start my own business.
Yeah.
Or you can just graduate and be like, this person will employ basically anyone who has a bachelor's degree,
yeah.
For example.
I also think, like, with degrees that are more specialized, like veterinary, nursing, doctors, those are, like, really hard programs to get into usually. And I think, like, med school is hardcore, all right? You need to do, like, that's, like, almost 10 years sometimes.
Yeah.
After all, like, the residency and all that. So it's, like, I think if somebody wasn't committed, like, you have to be committed to doing that, or else you'll probably just drop out before that.
If you're just going to go work for some company, you probably don't need to spend 10 years, like, back-breaking type studying.
Yeah, just do yourself a favor and drop out now.
Yeah. I know plenty of people who went to school and they were like, I'm going to become a, like, plastic surgeon or whatever, you know, something that they shot too high for, and then they're like, yeah, this is way too much. I'm just changing my degree, changing my thing now, and I'm going to be, you know, graduate with business.
The thing is, people set out with high goals in mind, but when they get into the system or the college experience, they're like, oh, man, it's so hard.
Yeah. And I don't blame them. Like, I wouldn't want to do that.
I don't either. I mean, college can be tough. I mean, I would think that, you know, education is important, but I'm not saying that college is the only path forward. Like, you can learn anything nowadays, especially through the interwebs. And I think college is an opportunity to meet and socialize with different people and get an education at the same time. It's just, don't go into debt for an education that's going to be absolutely useless in a year or two or three or four or five. Go and get educated to actually, you know, expand your mind, think about things critically, get different ideas if that's what you want to do. But I don't think you can just get educated in, like, gender studies and you're going to be making millions of dollars.
I think that that's the most important part about reading stories like this is just, I think that people need to realize that just because, like, your guidance counselor and other people are pushing college on you, maybe you go to prep school and your whole entire high school experience was all about getting you ready for college, just because people are telling you that it's the right thing to do, if it's not what you want to do, you probably shouldn't do it, and definitely don't get into debt over something that's going to be useless. And I've seen many stories about this same exact thing recently, either just that they're, quote, underemployed, like they're they have a job, but it's something that they never even needed to go to college for, or that they didn't need that level of education for, or that they're just unable to get jobs because they're not, you know, taking a job that any old person could get. They're like, I have a degree. I'm going to get it. I need to get a, be able to get a better, I could get a better job than this. They keep searching and searching and they're unemployed the whole time. That's happening a lot. And, we also had a story, I think we actually got into on the story, on the show recently, that was saying that employers are, more and more of them are just taking off college as a requirement altogether. Because they're just more, needy for people that want to work anyway. Like ever since COVID, that has just kind of been a thing. There are fewer workers out there.
Which is interesting because, you know, the workforce really shrank after the pandemic and now hasn't really recovered.
Right. And the thing is, like, a lot of people, they think that they know what they want to do when they're a high schooler, and then life just happens and they find out that's not what they want to do. Either they're in college for it and they're like, yeah, this is not what I want to do. Or you, like, take a break and then you find yourself doing all these other things that are just as good of a use as of your time. I think that you should just keep your mind open to the idea that you don't have a 10-year plan when you're a 17-year-old or something.
Yeah, it's easy to think that you can't have a 10-year plan when you're 17, but, you know, when you're a teenager, you're full of vinegar and high hopes, and you want to go conquer the world and make a difference. But when you start getting older and going and gaining life experience, it's like, you know, the only world I can really change is my own. And it's important
I don't think it's anything about, like, oh, you shouldn't have high hopes.
Right.
I think they should have high hopes. They just shouldn't expect that they know what the good things they're going to be doing are.
You make,
like,
a good point.
Like, you could be doing something you can't really imagine right now because you don't know it's a thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I just think that people often want to go to school for some specific thing, and they're limiting themselves. And,
right,
like, when I was in high school, I wanted to go to school to be an accountant, and I think that would have been really boring, and my life would be pretty boring.
Yeah, I graduated high school in 2004, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And yet, here I am, doing talk radio.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can find more at freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening to us and learning more about liberty. Peace.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.